Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Sports View podcast. It's been a hot minute since we've last done an episode. I've been mostly doing episodes. Me and Fitz have mostly been doing episodes on his podcast. Make sure you check it out, the Sports Way podcast. But we do a podcast episode once in a while on this one. I'm Christian.
I'm Fitz.
So without further ado, we're going to get into the first topic, and it's about Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. They're kind of beefing a bit, and it seems like at least one of them is going to – could possibly leave. If not both of them could possibly leave. Leave the Jazz and move their career on elsewhere. So, Fitz, what's your – take on this?
I feel like Quinn Snyder stepping down maybe plays a little bit of a role in this. But it definitely plays a role in this for what Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are going to do, because as soon as Quinn Snyder stepped down, Christian, there were rumors about Donovan Mitchell. They're like, oh, what's his future? And then they started giving him targets. The rumors are like, what if he goes to Miami? What if he's the rumor was, what if he goes, if it's him, Jalen Suggs and Chet Holmgren, if they pick number one overall tomorrow's NBA draft, go check that out on ESPN or ABC. But like, just there, I think it's not being handled correctly, and Dwayne Wade, the owner, has to have a step in this, like, okay, trade him, so don't even think about trading him. And like, you should be starting. If Mitchell leaves, then Gobert is gonna want to leave.
Yeah. So it says Bleacher Report says that the Rudy Gobert relationship with Donovan Mitchell is unsalvageable. So we'll see if that leads to trades and
free agency starts next week.
Free agency, yeah. And I'm not sure if it started during COVID, but I think it's definitely a possibility that their relationships started to go a little bit under strain after Rudy Gobert was very he made fun of like the virus and was very unsafe.
Oh, for sure.
In his ways, and I think, and he got COVID, and he ended up giving Donovan Mitchell COVID as well. So I think that definitely pushed strain on it, because
that was also 2 years ago.
Well, I know, but like sometimes just those wounds start to fester, and I'm sure there's been other moments, but I think I'm not exactly sure, obviously, because I'm not either of them, but I think that was definitely one of the turning points in their relationship, because even in Donovan Mitchell's point of view, like, even though COVID is like, it's most of the time like a large percentage, only a small percentage of the people that actually get it die. But even like how it's one of the most dangerous viruses in history, and like for Rudy Gobert just to like sacrifice like the safety and of his teammates and not looking out for them, I'm sure that definitely didn't sit well with Donovan, but I'm obviously not going to speak for him, but that's just my opinion on what could have possibly put a strain on the relationship. I'm sure another strain has probably happened since, like, they were, like, the number one seed a couple years ago, and they didn't get it done, so obviously I'm sure that brought a level of disappointment with both the two stars, mm-hmm. as they haven't been able to get much playoff, haven't really been able to do much in the playoffs since they've been together.
No, yeah. I mean, they made a run last year that was stopped by your Clippers. And then they made a run Donovan's rookie year and lost to Houston.
Who did they lose to when in the playoffs when they had like the league leading record? Was that the Clippers?
Yeah, I was last year.
Wait, are you sure?
Oh, I'm positive.
In the bubble, I think they lost to the Nuggets.
that blew a 3-1 lead, and then Denver won. And then you and then you guys blew a 3-1 lead, and Denver won.
Yes, I know, I know. Yeah, and then you guys lost this season in the playoffs to.
At least we didn't throw it. At least we didn't. At least we only blew a 3-2 lead.
Still blew a lead.
And if Chris Middleton was in, would have won.
I don't think Giannis had like the same going into that. Actually, since we're on that topic, to be honest, I don't think Giannis had like the same. I'm not exactly sure, but I don't think he had the same like. Determination, like as he did like last year, because he obviously going into this year, he already had won a championship. He's like fulfilled what he's wanted to do, and Milwaukee, I'm sure he wants to win more, but like,
yeah, for sure,
I think he got a little complacent this season, and like even talking about in like game seven, he like stated it, he's just like he thinks it's just gonna be fun or whatever, which mm-hmm. I'm not. Obviously, you should enjoy the game of basketball, but, like, if you're going into the game seven, I think your mindset should be, like, do or die.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I'm just trying to have fun.
One of the things that made me wonder was why people were talking so little of Chris Middleton when he was out. Because, I mean, you look at it. You look at it. Chris Middleton, I'm not saying it's an excuse, but he's a huge contribution to our team. And a lot of bigger contribution than people think of. Like, my friends are like, oh, you can win. You can. It was just Giannis. No, Middleton is in there too and everything like that. And, like, just the fact.
A big part of them losing it.
Yeah, and I think if Middleton is healthy, you have a chance. You at least have a chance in a game seven.
But also, to be honest, I think Boston was a pretty bad matchup for the – for Milwaukee, especially
in what way?
Chris Middleton, because they have such a good like interior defense with Robert Williams and Al Horford and the other Williams guy,
Grant
Williams, and like when you're able, like obviously they didn't fully shut down Giannis, but they definitely limited his impact in like the later quarters. Obviously he still got his like 25-30 a night, but I feel like in like the fourth quarter they definitely slowed him down a bit, and when they and especially the Bucks, they struggled because they didn't really have good 3-point shooters. So if Giannis would force a lot of defensive attention in the paint. A lot of times, like, he didn't have reliable 3-point shooters outside getting it done, such as, what's his name? Who's the guy who was on the Grizzlies the year before?
Conley?
What? Huh?
Conley?
No. You're on your team.
What do you, Pat Connaughton?
He was on your team. Was the guy that is the dirty player? He used to be on the Grizzlies.
Grayson Allen.
Yes, Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen wasn't really doing much in the
25
in the Boston series.
But games in Chicago. Especially to go back to back.
I know that was good then, but he didn't do too well in the Boston series.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's move on to like Brooklyn, because it seems like their team could be facing like another collapse.
The team is dead.
Implosion, because there's rumors that
both KD and Kyrie are leaving.
Yeah, well, first it's Kyrie leaving. He could join the Lakers as a possible option, possibly the Knicks, some other teams.
Here's what it is. But
it definitely, after those rumors started, it seems pretty clear that if Kyrie's going to leave, KD's probably going to leave as well. And so if this happens, the Nets are pretty much screwed, because they really only have Ben Simmons and then whatever they can salvage from trading those two players if
Ben Simmons
they are able to trade them.
Simmons doesn't really count as like a star. Just a regular nowadays. Also,
I'm not gonna go down and say that, because we haven't seen him play. I'm not gonna put any labels on Ben Simmons.
That's why.
Yeah, James Harden arguably played worse in the playoffs than Ben Simmons did.
Oh my God.
It's true.
Whatever. Ben Simmons is like, he's not.
No
really...
one's talking about James Harden. Everyone is here to throw shade on Ben Simmons for the playoffs. Obviously, he also hasn't gotten himself like mentally right and physically right to play, which is also like another, which also casts like shadows on his like legacy and how people think of him. But as far as like his playoffs mistakes, which even we're seeing Jason Tatum made some mistakes in this finals. But as far as like his playoff mistakes, he's definitely been scrutinized way more than James Harden. And James Harden probably had the same level of lack of production as Ben Simmons did.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously,
yeah.
James Harden has a bigger like resume on his career, and so
I would,
that one series is not gonna deface his career.
Mm-hmm. But ever since they got KD and Kyrie, it's never been what it's projected to be. Because you look back, they got KD and Kyrie, and like right. So Kevin Durant tears his Achilles. Kyrie Irving is wanting to leave Boston. They both leave. They head to Brooklyn, and then Kevin Durant's out the whole year. Kyrie Irving is out most of the year, and they get swept in the first round by the Raptors. End of that year, and then. Last year, they were supposed to win the NBA championship, supposedly, and go up against the Lakers in the finals, which, guess what? They didn't. And then they go out and lose to the Bucks. And just,
yeah.
Not cool. They've had two. And then this year, they were projected to be the preseason favorites. And like we said in my episode, Harden gets traded. Kyrie can only play part-time. And KD's out, injured. So, and Ben Simmons is also injured, keep in mind. So they lost 17 of 20 games. They lost 17 of 20 games in the matter of a month.
Yeah, but I think people also don't realize like how unlucky they were the year before. So last year when the Bucks
against the Bucks, I have to agree with that. But
because
also, go on.
I think it's pretty reasonable to assume that if at least Kyrie series, the Nets most likely win it.
Yeah.
Especially when after getting that close with KD with his foot on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Health basically ruined them.
That made me so nervous, I'm not going to lie. And I was in a bar watching it. I was so nervous after that happened. But it's over. Bucks won. But the point is just like they went on a downfall because when they were playing, so they won one of those games was beat against the Bucks, and they were like, okay, maybe they could be top of the East. And then Boston here, so like Boston, they're number 9 in the East, like they have no chance of making the playoffs right now. And then all of a sudden, like if you got a mountain, one side is like there, so you got one side of a mountain. Boston's in like a valley. They're creating a canyon. They're going downhill, and then they go up and create a big, big peak up, and make a big season turnaround. And then you got Brooklyn, who's going up, and it's like a mountain. So I think it was opposite for both Boston and Brooklyn. Boston was the team to win when it was time to play against the. Boston was the team to play when it came against that series. And for the second time in 3 years, Brooklyn was swept in the first round.
To a different topic, I'd like to ask you how do you think this the craziness in Boston, the derailing of the franchise, possible derailing of the franchise, because we're not sure if anything will happen, but it's high likelihood. The team is basically going to be decimated if these two stars leave. How do you think this, if at all, affects Kevin Durant's legacy?
Well, first and foremost, going to Golden State really affected his legacy because then it just showed Kevin Durant's not willing to stay in Oklahoma City. He's just wanting to go. And especially because they blew a 3-1 lead, that made it even more coward-like of Durant because it just showed – okay, he doesn't really care about bringing a championship to Golden, like Oklahoma City. He doesn't care about it in like 2 years. He wants to win now. Like that's not really Like, oh, and I, you get why Oklahoma City fans booed him, because like he doesn't want to win now. He wants to win now, and like OKC's not in a position to win right now. And then when he came to Brooklyn, he didn't really get much shade for going to Brooklyn. He just wanted to leave Golden State, which people are like, okay, let's see how this works. He left Steph. Now let's see how he works with Kyrie. Now Kevin Durant has the most shade he's ever had in Brooklyn because he left and they got swept in the first round by Boston, the team that the Warriors beat in the finals. And now they won a championship, and the Warriors proved they can win a championship without Kevin Durant. So I think the Warriors championship this year and Kevin Durant blowing the 3-1 lead, that affects his life more than anything right now.
So would you say, as a follow-up question, are you saying basically that his decision to join the Warriors leaves more of a mark, like a more of a bad mark on his legacy than this whole debacle with the Nets?
Well, I'm not – yes and no. Because what I'm saying is different things. Kevin Durant's legacy –
compare them for me. I know they're two different things, okay, but like, which one do you think was worse?
You're talking about now, and then you're talking about in the future. Those two don't coherent with each other. And then,
what are you talking about? The future.
You're talking about now, and then you're talking about his legacy now, and then you're talking about like in the future. So that's all I'm saying. But
his decision, Kevin Durant's decision to go to the Warriors, or Kevin Durant's failure with the Nets, which do you think leaves a bigger stain on his legacy? That's the question.
Dude, that's a tough question. I think honestly, it's the Warriors, because I mean that just shows like that's what you're saying. Both of them affect his legacy. But the Brooklyn one also affects Kyrie's legacy. The Kevin Durant leaving, that's all him. The failure in Brooklyn mostly shows that shows bad looking on KD and Kyrie, because the two are together. The Kevin Durant going to the Warriors thing, that's a whole other thing that I'll talk to you about in a sec. But the KD Kyrie right now, that affects both their legacies equally, because they're both part of it. It maybe affects a little bit of Harden's, but like nothing of Harden's, because he was barely there. But I'm talking about like right now with I do think it's going to affect his legacy, but it also affects Kyrie's legacy for not being able to win. Especially if Kyrie goes to the Lakers, this is going to like completely demolish his legacy. As anything, because it just shows you just want to go to LeBron, and Lakers sucked so bad last year. You want to go to LeBron and just be like, and like nothing's working for you. That's all I'm saying. But just the fact, I don't know. Like saying otherwise, it's frustrating, because you look at Kevin Durant, you're like, he's a really good player. Why is he getting so much shade? Because he left Oklahoma City, and then he left Golden State. Now they're winning without him. Yeah. Now winning, him leaving, there's three things that will make him absolute coward. His time at OKC had nothing to do with his fine in OKC. And you would agree with me on that, right?
Won an MVP in OKC.
Yeah, won his only MVP in OKC. The only time that he looked bad in OKC is when he left to go to the Warriors after they blew a 3-1 lead. It's just showing, first and foremost, he's not loyal to OKC. He's not loyal to the Thunder franchise, and he just wants to win now. So that those are three things that ruin his legacy about that. And then he wins. And then another thing that ruins his legacy is him leaving Golden State and then Golden State winning without him. And then the third thing is his failure in Brooklyn, which I think Kevin Durant's legacy, if anything, is the one. Because, yes, Kyrie left Cleveland, but then LeBron left the next year. So you're like, okay, that doesn't really damage Kyrie's legacy. It just shows he wants out of Cleveland, okay? And then Gets to winning, leaving Boston. He gets some shade after Boston makes the finals without him after getting swept by, with the Nets. But, like, the Kevin Durant, that's – I think Kevin Durant's damaged his legacy more than Kyrie has.
Okay. So my take on this is I think strictly on the debacle with the Nets, I think this hurts definitely hurts Kevin Durant's legacy because, like you mentioned, Kevin Durant left what he had in the Warriors with the Warriors. So a couple easy championships. He left that to go to basically, I think, prove to the world and prove to himself he can win on somewhat on his own, even though he basically recruited two other all-stars to join him, all NBA players. And I think his failure with the Nets to win a championship, and not even just a championship, but it seems like he's jumping ship. So I think that's not a good mark on his legacy that he's just jumping ship after possibly jumping ship, because this is all highly likely, but not yet confirmed. So he's really just jumping ship and going to a new franchise, it seems like. But I think his failure has to do, obviously, with a combination of unfortunate luck, I guess you could say, unfortunate circumstances, and the combination of his failures as well, because he's a large part of the failure in Brooklyn. So, like, for the consequences, the unforeseen consequences, like the bad luck, I would say. I think he kind of got betrayed by at least by James Harden. Maybe Kyrie, you could argue Kyrie, but I would say James Harden, because James Harden's just, for some reason, obviously I don't know what happened within the organization, but he, for some reason, he just jumped ship and left KD and left the team that they're building largely around him.
And James Harden?
Harden. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're building around him. He's definitely a big piece that they, I'm sure they were like creating their, had to do a big deal with their lineup and like the players they had on the team. And he basically just left. And if I was Kevin Durant, I'd definitely feel betrayed. I think you could argue Kyrie too, because it seems like he obviously wasn't there this season. Obviously, KD through his post game, his interviews and stuff, it seems like he still like really respects Kyrie, but Kyrie really did leave him hanging this throughout most of the season, with all his drama, COVID drama, and all the attention that it brought to that locker room. Bad attention. But then also with Kevin Durant, he's making the decision to possibly leave Brooklyn, which
and go to Phoenix,
goes back to his possibly going to Phoenix, which goes back to his leaving OKC after they weren't able to get it done. Which just makes you respect Giannis Antetokounmpo much more, because through all the losing, when it was his free agency, I believe, after they lost to Miami, I believe, and he was gonna in the offseason, he could have easily went anywhere else, got his money anywhere else, and possibly just walked into a championship, which Giannis? Is what KD did, with the Warriors.
You got to admit, Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City. The next year he won a championship. If he does not win a championship, much less make the NBA Finals, his legacy would be so much more demolished than it is right now. Because you're saying, oh, you left the team that beat you, and then they can't win with you? Like, okay.
Yeah, I would say his legacy is pretty beat up.
So those two championships really saved him.
I wouldn't say it saved him because I think they were expected, like, as long as he was healthy, that was the only thing in their way. May even like even if he's not healthy, the Warriors proved before Kevin Durant got there that they could win a championship without him. So even so, basically, just him signing there with the Warriors, it basically just made it a cakewalk to the to win two championships because I
They won
saw
six.
on a
They won
video.
6-1 in their first playoff run.
I saw in a video that they were beating like the Suns so bad in one game that Steve Kerr just let them coach themselves for the rest of the game. That
Oh
just
yeah.
shows like how easily they were just.
And
And so,
that was also the Suns who had the worst record in the NBA at the time.
yeah, but still, like
Keep
it's
that
an
in
NBA
mind.
team still. It still has to get to the NBA is a high, really high skilled players on every single team. So regardless of the worst team or not, they just were just making the other teams look like college teams. So,
They made like the Suns look like a they made the Suns look like a JV team against a varsity team that had no chance.
yeah, or just a college team against a pro team.
No.
Yes.
I guess. All right, keep going.
And I think that's basically all I have to say on that. I think it's if I was Kevin Durant, it would be pretty humiliating. Obviously, we're still going to look on him throughout at the end of this career and say he was a pretty damn good basketball player that was able to win two championships, have all his all-stars and an MVP. But
Two
I
All-Star Game
think,
MVPs.
well, I guess, but the All-Star game is somewhat of a joke because everyone
There's
just
no
literally no defense.
I was about to say that there's no defense.
Yeah, I wouldn't really put that on your resume that much. I care more about All-Stars. But
Our appearances?
yeah, All-Star appearances.
Yeah.
But anyway, what was that? Yeah, with him departing Brooklyn, my final thought is I think more than ever now, he has the burden of not being able to win a championship on his own, and he's going to carry that to whatever team he goes to.
Yeah.
And he's got to get it done.
That's all it is to it. Grind is never over, my brother.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, now for the next topic. Let's see what was it?
Oh, let's talk about just talk brief touch about the hockey tonight. I'll
Oh,
take
yeah,
this
we'll talk about hockey.
I'll take this over for you.
Yep.
The Avalanche are up 3-1, going back to their home state of Colorado, where they have a chance to close out at Friday night at Ball Arena. The Nuggets have never been able to bring a championship to that arena, so the going to be the first. But I mean, the Lightning were up pretty much the whole game, and then a late goal by the Avalanche forced overtime. And then the Avalanche went overtime. Just a complete collapse by the Lightning. I mean, they're the two-time Stanley Cup champions, reigning nonetheless. And this is just very poor form on their part to not be able to be first of all to be able to collapse the lead and then lose it in overtime. That just shows bad form on the Lightning's part
Yep.
with that.
What would you say, bad hitting form or bad saving form?
Oh my God, the savings were saves me and Chris, you we could both agree the saves by the Tampa Bay goalie were absolutely amazing. Just a hitting goal because like you remember game and we both like what the hell is icing and offsides mean? And then it goes like you Like you and you would agree with me, like after the Lightning got it, they would just chuck it up. They're like, dude, get in your offense. Like there's no point just chucking it up. It's basically saying that's basically giving it's basically walking the other team down the red carpet and being like, okay, you won, ha, I'll let you in. And just like doing all that stuff. Like that's not good hockey. I mean, I'm not a hockey fan, I can't talk. But like in my eyes, that's not good hockey. That's just like being lazy and just throwing the puck away. Why would you do that? You're trying to win a third straight Stanley Cup. Why would you try to throw the puck away? It just doesn't make sense.
Yep. So now the series goes back to Colorado as the Avalanche have a chance to end the series in their home arena. So for the next topic, which I which I was going to say earlier, which I forgot. We have a pretty big trade that happened. We have Jeremy Grant going to the Trailblazers.
Yeah, from the Pistons, who are looking actually to acquire DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah,
On top of it, so
which we could definitely discuss that after too, but I saw the details of the trade. It said basically the main thing for them for the trade was to clear cap space, cap room.
Who for the Detroit?
Pistons, for the Pistons.
Who are they going to sign? They got a first rounder.
They got a first rounder from. Then they got a first rounder from Milwaukee, which to be honest, I do understand a little bit of what they're doing, because if you put yourself in the position of the Pistons, they're kind of ruined. Like, they're really on the laughing stock of the NBA right now.
You're and just realizing this now, buddy?
No, I'm just – hey, let me keep going. Let me keep going. And the only way I could see them, like, rebuilding in the near future, which is their plan, like, not even the near future, but, like, 5 to 10 years from now and having, like, a really good playoff team, is I think they're really going to need to do they need to draft some good stars. And I think that's what they're doing with this trade. They got a first-round pick. Jeremy Grant, I don't think you would – he's not going to one-handedly turn around the franchise. Mm-hmm. So I think their view is to get rid of him, clear some cap space, and place your bets in the future in the draft.
But why would you get rid of – but why would you pick from Milwaukee?
What?
Why would you pick from Milwaukee? That pick is –
because the Bucks are dumb.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Bucks fan. I would not. But just the fact that pick is also projected to be one. So that absolutely counts. Just because, I mean,
well,
giving up
in 2025, you can't really project it right
now. I know, but think of it. Jrue Holiday is going to enter his 17th year. Chris Middleton and Jan. Be older, and they're gonna be entering their 13th year together. If they're still,
I wouldn't worry about Giannis. I would not worry about Giannis. His prime right now, or he's in his prime.
I might worry about Middleton though, if whether he leaves, and if Holiday is old enough to carry still help carry a team.
I understand, but like the NBA is so much different than the NFL. Like, if we're talking about NFL, like entering your ninth season or whatever, that's a real big deal. That's like the end of your career. But like in the NBA, like a lot for especially for superstars, 9 years is like pretty much half of their career. So I'm not saying Jrue Holiday is going to play 18 years, but I think he still has got to go to at least like 5 to 6 years in him, and possibly even more. Because the NBA does not take like as such a physical toll on your body as the NFL, which is why the careers last longer.
For sure. Yeah.
So now our thoughts on the trade. Do you think what do you think now of the trade? Do you think
Portland wins?
I definitely think Portland wins, but I'm not gonna say like for as of win now, it like as in the win now, point of view,
like now
Portland definitely wins it. I'm saying at like win now, like
yeah, but you wonder who Detroit's gonna use with their pick. Yeah, you wonder what Detroit's gonna use with their picks.
Yeah,
I think they traded away Grant because they're trying to build around Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they're trying to build around their future, not like they know that they're not gonna make it to the playoffs in the next couple of years, or at least the next year probably. So they're trying to focus their energy on the draft and getting new stars. Like, that's what happened to the Warriors. I'm not exactly sure if they were, like, at the bottom of the NBA before Curry, but they definitely – their stars now looking
Curry
back
was number
stars,
seven.
I know, but I'm saying were the Warriors bad before they got Curry?
A little bit.
Exactly. So the Warriors, they've been able to build this franchise all pretty much mostly from the draft, like Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Curry. They brought some guys in like Wiggins, but that's what I definitely see the Pistons thinking with this trade.
I would see that too.
Okay, so now I guess we could talk about DeAndre Ayton and possibly him. I saw the article. It said the Suns are really searching for trades for DeAndre Ayton, sign and trades.
Yeah.
So I think I wonder this why. Is you wonder probably why. The end of the Sun. Oh, what are you wondering why for? He quit on the team in Game 7. That's why.
Yeah.
That's a big part of why, because if that just shows who he is as a player, and I don't think the Suns want that if they're trying to win. They can't have someone who's quitting on the team and he's not buying in. If you pay attention to the Warriors, a lot of what they were saying after they won the championship is, like, everyone bought into this championship. Like, everyone did their part and everyone had this as their goal in mind. And that's clearly what not – not that's clearly not what DeAndre Ayton – that's clearly not his mind
he also,
space.
He also did not have a contract last year. He also did not have a contract.
Well, I know he's probably so sad about his contract, but – it's about winning. Once the season starts, you can't dwell on your contract. You have to go and try to win an NBA championship. And in Game 7, he took himself out, and the coach asked if he wanted to go in, and he said no.
Okay.
So he quit on the team, and that's why the Suns are probably wanting to get rid of him, because he quit on them.
I see your point now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if he goes to the Pistons, I guess –
they win that deal.
Yeah, they wouldn't be terrible because now they would have him and Cade Cunningham to build around.
And then if he goes to Brooklyn, and then the Kevin that goes through, Phoenix wins that deal.
I guess it depends on what they get for him.
Yeah, no. But and then I don't know. And then another, I think maybe the Hawks are also interested in him too, which absolutely makes zero sense.
Possibly, but well, yes, because I understand that because the Hawks are also in a possible trade or likely trade with DeJounte Murray
and John Collins
for John Collins. So if they're getting rid of like a power forward slash center, they might want to get DeAndre Ayton to fill John Collins' shoes.
Yeah.
Because you want to talk about that now, because that's one of the headlines. DeJounte Murray is
possibly going to be traded. I haven't seen those rumors.
Oh yeah, I saw it. And DeJounte Murray said, and he tweeted "uh-oh" and then popcorn to the Bleacher Report news that was posted.
Yeah.
So just those clues make it seem like it probably may happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm sure he would know out of anyone. But what do you think of that potential trade?
For DeJounte Murray and John Collins?
Yeah.
I think Atlanta wins that because DeJounte Murray is coming off an all-star season. He was selected to his first all-star team as an injury replacement. But the point is that DeJounte Murray had a breakout season last year. And you're bringing in John Collins, who's really underappreciated, not really the kind of guy that you're going to build a team around. And now you're trying to bring in DeJounte Murray as well. I think Atlanta totally wins this deal if it goes through. San Antonio is like, they should want to keep DeJounte Murray. He just had a great, great season. Like, you should want to keep DeJounte Murray. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I'm San Antonio.
You shouldn't want to get rid of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If I'm just San Antonio, I would definitely, it would definitely have to be a three-team trade for this to happen, because there's no way in heck that I'm trading DeJounte Murray for John Collins. Even if they give me like extra picks, heck no, because that's just not, I don't even think John Collins is good. Okay. But I wouldn't really say he's like I think he's a board, he's a role player. That's what I think. I don't think he's gonna he's a real star. I think he's a role player. And I think if you take him out of Atlanta, he's not gonna do as good because a lot of what he does is comes off of Trae Young and like Boom. The lobs and all the stuff that Trae Young, all the attention that Trae Young gets. And so if he's going to if he were to go to the Spurs, he's not gonna have like a Trae Young type player that's gonna like grab all the attention from the defense. Yeah.
So you want to go to a and, place that's like wanting to like have a point guard and everything. So
yeah. Can... Wait, was Drew the Drew Holiday trade? Was that a 3-team trade?
That was a big trade. I believe. Yeah, it was. It involved...
Okay, because that's what the headline said. It said a possible Drew Holiday type trade.
Yeah, I think New Orleans, Milwaukee, and I think OKC.
Yeah, so I think that that's what if I was the Spurs, I think that's what I would want to happen. Maybe get some good play like Malcolm Brogdon and like another and a first rounder for DeJounte Murray or something.
Malcolm Brogdon will go back to the Bucks eventually.
10 years.
Yeah.
He'll sign a 1-day contract and retire with the Bucks after only playing like 1 year with them.
Exactly. It's like Jason Witten. He signed a 1-day contract. He signed a 10-day contract with the Cowboys and then retired with them.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. All right. Well, anything else?
Some other news, like the NFL player, Goose.
He
passed away today.
Okay.
He was a D tackle for Ravens. He died at 55. I'm sure it's something to do with CTE if you're dying that young.
Mm-hmm.
CTE, obviously, most people know.
He's a big dude.
It's caused from like concussions and repeated hits to the head and brain damage. That seems like it causes a lot of deaths in the NFL, especially people that are dying young.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I know what you're talking about. And then you got Jalen Ferguson.
Yep, he passed away as well. He was a current player, I believe, for the Ravens.
Yeah.
Played and then another topic I wanted to talk about is like, what the hell is Shareef O'Neal doing, bro? He, as I said this to Fitz, he declared for the NBA draft, but there's no way in hell if I was a NBA team I would pick him because he was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school. In college, obviously he had his struggles. He had a heart surgery, which probably
that's just a miracle.
His college career.
You got to admit, that's just a miracle he's playing. After that,
yeah, I guess.
After that huge heart procedure?
I don't know how risky the heart procedure was, but I guess.
Dude, any kind of heart procedure is risky.
Well, nowadays, the nurses and technology is so good. I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but
he would have died without it. They said he probably would have died without the heart surgery. So it's more risky not to get the heart surgery than to get it.
But it's still big.
I guess, yeah. But then in college, he's only averaged like 2 points per game and two rebounds or whatever. So
yeah,
and he still played 37 games. So it's not like he was like a dominant player for college. So I don't know what he's thinking. He could go back to college and try to resurrect his career, but instead he thinks he's good enough for the NBA, which we'll see how his career goes. But even Shaq said that this is a bad decision, but Shareef
Shaq was not on board with it either.
Yeah,
not on board with it.
But obviously, Shareef hasn't made. His dad is Shaquille O'Neal, most likely a billionaire, and he doesn't have to work a day in his life if he wanted to, because
Shaq is a billionaire.
He's got that money. Yep,
and he's got money, and then now is TNT with your uncle's neighbor.
Ernie Johnson.
Yep, that's correct.
I got a book signed by him. You know his book that he made?
Yeah.
He signed it for me.
Okay, that's awesome.
And he gave me a message too. He wrote me like a little message on it.
Okay, that's awesome.
All right, well, okay, and then another thing I wanted to talk about was Chet Holmgren.
Oh,
Chet Holmgren hasn't given his physicals. This could be nothing, but Chet Holmgren reportedly didn't give his physicals to, I believe, the Thunder and the some other team.
Magic. You said the Magic.
The Thunder and I think the Magic, which could be a possibility of him slipping in this draft. I don't know if this is a slight nod to those two teams that he doesn't want to be a part of their organization, I mean. But I don't know why he wouldn't give them his physical, but whatever, just something to take into account for those who were like betting of him going in like the second pick or the first pick.
Yeah.
He didn't give him his physical, so you know, just one little thing that could impact his where he lands for the NBA.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I wanted to ask you this question, Fitz. The first round picks in the last 4 years, which of the first three picks in the first round of the last 4 years have had like the biggest impact? Because there's been some pretty good ones in the past 4 years. So, the 2021 draft, it was Cade Cunningham,
Jalen Green. A big impact
Evan
in the last
Mobley.
3 years.
4 years.
4 years. We got John Morant.
And then in 2020, it was Zion, Jaw, and RJ.
No, that was
2019. Oh, yeah.
2020 was 2020.
Edwards, Wiseman,
Edwards,
Ball.
Wiseman has not done anything.
Yeah, right now. But I think he has very good potential if he can stay on the court.
Yeah.
I think he's better than Kevon Looney, hands down, any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you got
Zion, Jaw, RJ, and then you got DeAndre.
Jaw's made a big
Bagley
impact. If Zion is fully healthy, I think he can be really, really good.
And he had that one good season, but since
yeah,
then,
I know.
And RJ, he's a star.
Mm-hmm.
He's a star in New York.
Yeah, for sure.
He's definitely going to be what they build around. Do you think he'll get his max this
RJ?
Year?
Yeah. I don't know about a max, but he'll get an extension.
Well, yeah, obviously an extension, but do you think he'll get a super max?
No.
Okay.
Not good.
I would say yes, because I don't think the Knicks have anyone else. I think on this
Julius
topic,
Randle.
I think the Knicks are going to trade him to trade up and get Jalen Ivey with the fifth.
Really?
Pick. Yes.
Okay.
And then sign RJ to a Supermac. That's what I would do because Julius Randle, I don't know, he's inconsistent. He had that one good season, but then he didn't really live up to it last year.
Yeah.
And Jalen Ivey basically said he doesn't really want to go to
Sacramento,
and he said that it would be great to play with the Knicks. So I think it would be a good decision for both for that to happen if they can make that.
Yeah.
Happen.
Yeah. All right.
So which of those four do you think
which class?
Yeah, the first three picks. Just the first three, not like the whole class.
Dude. Overall
DeAndre.
You're talking about the 2018 draft too?
Yeah, DeAndre, Marvin Bagley,
who?
And Luka Doncic.
Marvin Bagley is a local kid from Arizona. Marvin Bagley III, he grew up in Arizona and then went to Duke.
Oh yeah.
His brother plays for Arizona State currently.
Nice.
Yeah.
So which one of those first three picks do you think
The most impact? Okay. Well, you look at each of their games. I'm going to be the 2020 NBA draft, because I mean Wiseman was pretty good last year until he got hurt, and then Edwards had a pop off season this year, and then LaMelo has been really good. So I mean just the overall production, because in the 2019 draft it's only really Ja. Zion was out all last year and RJ kind of quiet, but the point is it's just
that overall the 2020 draft was pretty good because Edwards and LaMelo are like legit.
Yeah. I would actually say the 2019 because
you think John Morant's that good?
Hell yeah. Everyone knows John Morant's a superstar.
I know, but you think he's good? You think he's better than everybody?
Well, not just him, but RJ, he's a borderline all-star, especially this year. He had a heck of a year. And then Zion is an all-star when he plays, and I'd take him over, like, Wiseman. Like, comparing the 2 years, you got Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball, who are two borderline all-stars. You got Ja, who's a superstar. And you got RJ, who's a borderline all-star, and then Zion Williamson, that's an all-star when he plays. And then you got Wiseman, that has potential, but he hasn't made any impact. So I think it's clearly 2019.
Okay.
Okay, that wraps up the podcast. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check out Fitz's podcast, The Sports Way. We do much more on there. Hopefully we get some more podcasts this summer because we have more free time on this one. But thanks for listening. I'm Christian.
And I'm Fitz.
Peace.
Peace out.